Our weekly fantasy sports podcast here on Breakfast with Benz, as always, joined by Jeff Erickson of RotoWire. Make sure you check out Jeff and RotoWire for all your weekly fantasy advice. He joins us on Thursdays in advance of the Thursday night game between the Browns and the Steelers. Jeff, from a fantasy point of view, what are you watching most closely in Browns Steelers tonight?
I want to see if Trubisky gets any better. I want to watch his footwork. I want to watch, you know, I want to see if they can actually connect downfield with anybody besides Deontay. And I want to see if Najee finds some more holes to run through, because so far he hasn't. I know he's, you know, the clean bill of health for tonight's game, but he doesn't look like that the same back as last year in my eyes.
He doesn't look healthy, and he doesn't look like he's crisp either. Like, I feel like he's gun shy with all the contact that he took last year, and he's running the wrong holes at times as well.
Yeah, I've seen the same thing. So yeah, I'm a little concerned. You know, Thursday night games tend to be sloppy anyhow, so I'm a little worried about whether or not he's going to be able, if they're going to get on track tonight. I think the same thing is kind of true at the Browns. They were able to run the ball very effectively last week. But, I mean, you get a certain limitation on what Jacoby Brissett can provide. He actually had a better game last week. Amari Cooper had a better game. But there's still some limitations there.
Jeff, the entire Steelers team, I feel like, is a fantasy disappointment so far. I want to get to some fantasy disappointments across the league in just a second. Before we get there, though, some thoughts on what you're expecting from Browns individual players tonight. Do you see Chubb popping off against the Steelers' rush defense, which has been better this year? And actually, honestly, the Steelers, for as bad as they were against the run a season ago, both games against the Browns held them under 100 yards. Now, a lot of that had to do with some bad play calling. I don't know if they'll allow themselves to fall into those traps again. But what do you think from a fantasy perspective when it comes to the Browns' offensive players?
I mean, I think they need to keep establishing Nick Chubb again. I mean, I think the whole offense runs through, you know, getting, you know, building a successful run game and doing play action off of that. And then Hunt coming in too and getting his part. But, you know, you're right about the play calling and personnel decisions. I think in the second game, Hunt was even out and they still didn't go as much to Nick Chubb as they should have in that game. So it was aggravating to watch because I had Chubb in my fantasy Super Bowl that week.
Well, Jeff, I've got to be the only guy who's a fantasy owner for Josh Allen and is 0-2 so far in fantasy.
That's difficult to pull off, without a doubt. I mean, I'm sure you're not the only one, but it feels lonely right now, no doubt about it.
It does hurt when I've had Josh Allen and then gone up against Bills receivers. Like, I keep having my points, you know what I mean?
Yep. Well, the good news is, I mean, you're running out of receivers to go up against. I don't think you have to worry about Jake Kumaro walking in that door against you here.
Like I said, the fantasy disappointments, aside from myself having Allen and never winning, there are guys that I don't think were bad draft choices that just haven't popped to the level that I expected.
Right.
Like, for instance, Austin Eckler and Zeke Elliott, two running backs that I have. Eckler was okay last week, but I haven't had the eye-popping fantasy performance yet, and Elliott has certainly left me wanting.
Yeah, well, so with Eckler, let's talk about him, because in the offseason, in the training camp, and even in the summer, he was talking about wanting to have his workload limited a little bit. And you're like, yeah, okay, that's great, and all, but he's Austin Eckler. They're going to use him. Well, guess what? Those fears have come to fruition. We've seen, like, Joshua Kelly in on first drives. We've seen full drives with Sony Michel out there. And we're seeing Eckler out in goal line packages at times, which is weird given how effective he was at the goal line last year. There's always this perception in the NFL, you don't want a smaller back getting goal line carries. You want to move the pile and all that. Every team's got to have their own Jerome Bettis. And they're usually inferior. They're usually not that great at the goal line because they're just running into the pile. There's no vision. Eckler was really good at finding those holes last year. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's not the greatest play to do that. And, you know, if it weren't for the frantic comeback time at the end where Eckler caught like six passes in the fourth quarter, it would have been a very disappointing game for him.
I'll give you a gambling sidebar on that one too, Jeff. His total yards from scrimmage over under at Bet Rivers was 94.5. I took the over. He ended at 94.
Of course he did.
Of
course he did.
With that little play along the sidelines, too. And he had a drop, a blatant drop in the fourth quarter as well. So.
Oh, yeah, where he tried to, like, fake, then go out of bounds, and then they ruled him not still in play. Yes, I remember that one vividly. If he just turns up field, he gets that extra half a yard.
Yes, he does. He probably gets a couple more, actually. My other league, let me put it this way. I got two tight ends. Kyle Pitts and George Kittle, one in each league, one in the other. I've got nothing from Kittle because he hasn't played. What are you hearing about him, and what's going on with Pitts?
So he had a limited practice yesterday, Kittle did. So that's good news, I guess. We'll see. I'd like for them to play a game where it's not raining. That would be a nice start. We're 0-2 on that capacity. That's one of the reasons why the Niners are being so cautious. A groin injury, hamstring injury on a wet surface seems like a bad idea, and the Niners are playing the long game. But they need him, and now that Garoppolo's at the helm, they especially need him. So we'll see how that one plays out. Pitts, I think it's just a matter of time. The Falcons can't be that dense. You know, spending a fourth overall pick on a tight end when nobody does that, when he is his generational prospect, and then having him stay in the block on pass patterns, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
Am I going to get a little bit more soon out of Javonte Williams and Dalvin Cook?
So Javonte Williams is fine. He's running the ball great. Yeah, the one fumble at the goal line in the week one on Monday Night Football, and that was painful. But I mean, he's you know, Melvin Gordon's not going away, but Williams is the primary and Gordon's the backup. I think that's pretty clear. It's just Gordon gets more than other backups. That's all. You know, he's running the ball well. He's over 5 yards per carry. Nothing, no problems here. Although it's a tough matchup against the Niners this week, so that'll be a little bit tricky. Refresh my memory. The other back?
The back was Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook. Okay, this is just a, you know, move on, flush this game and move on. Because he, you know, they fell behind, way behind early. The Eagles defense was swarming. They could never get him on track, but they faced the Lions this week. The Lions have allowed a lot of rushing yards so far. I think this is going, and they're back, and Minnesota's back home. I think this ends well.
If I'm looking at the injury reports for Judy, how much should I rely on those going into the Sunday night game when I could just go with Christian Kirk, who frankly has outperformed Judy, I think, for the first 2 weeks anyway?
Oh, I'd go Kirk.
Yeah.
Even if Judy has a full practice Friday, I think I'd still go Kirk, especially because it's a tough matchup. The only hesitation I have with Kirk is this is also a harder matchup for the Jaguars. Chargers have a pretty good defense. They have J.C. Jackson probably is going to be able to play. They'll be at home again. So, you know, and I don't think there'll be a legion of Jacksonville fans in L.A. like there usually is for other teams that come in to play Charger games. So I don't think they'll have any that sort of factor. So this is actually a legitimate home field advantage for the Chargers this time.
Going up against Jaylen Waddle, he's a guy who must have killed me 4 different weeks last week, or last year, rather. I tried so hard to get him this year just so I didn't have to face him. Is he going to kill me again this week? I managed to avoid him last week when he went off.
So Buffalo has some issues in their secondary. They, you know, obviously their top cover corner was out for the first 4 weeks minimum. And then they lost some other guys last week. And we'll see if Micah Hyde can play. That's going to be a big one there. You know, they had 3 guys get hurt in that game on Monday night. So watch that a little bit. This is a big, big game for the Dolphins. This is, you know, this is a circle game for them because the Bills are the big ugly in the division. And, you know, the Dolphins are tugging at that cape. And they're flying high after that comeback win. I think this was a little bit of an anomaly, though, too. I mean, I still, like, there'll be games where Miami's going to want to run the ball more. They don't want to get in these shootouts. And when that's the case, they're gonna feed Hill first before Waddle. But this was encouraged. They went to Waddle early and often in this one.
Give me your Cincy take on how bad Joe Mixon's going to hurt me in one league, and can I get anything out of T. Higgins this week?
Yes and yes. I think they're going to be better this week. I mean, the Jets don't have that pass rush that the Cowboys and Steelers have, and I think that's one of the things that we'll see. This is actually a pretty good test to see how bad that Bengals offensive line is, or if it's just kind of a two-off where, okay, you're going up against T.J. Watt and Micah Parsons. Now let's see what happens when you're going against just an average pass rush here, because I think there's a pretty good chance that you're going to go ahead and see a better offense from the Bengals this week.
Jeff, I also want to throw at you the prospect of a few running backs. These are guys that I know I'm going up against in one league. Here's a three-pack for you. You tell me how much damage these three guys might do. Jeff Wilson, Josh Jacobs, and Miles Sanders.
Well, of those three, I like Sanders the best. I think against the Commanders, you're going to be facing a team that Detroit ran the ball pretty well against them. Jacksonville ran the ball very well against them in week one. I think Philly's got one of the best offensive lines in football. I think Sanders is set up for a pretty good game, and he's looked good in the first 2 weeks. So he's probably going to hurt you. Not as worried about Jacobs as much. I think you're going to throw on the Titans more than you're going to run on them. So I think that's going to be okay. And then Jeff Wilson's going to get the volume. It's a question of how good is that volume against a pretty tough Denver run defense.
Jeff, before we go here, I want to get into baseball somewhat too, because folks in Pittsburgh have had the New York Yankees experience the last couple of days. Boy, what a comeback, by the way. Were you keeping an eye on that game between Pittsburgh and New York, where Judge looked like it was just, the cosmetic, hey, let's get to the 60th homer. Was it going to matter in terms of the game per se? And then next thing you know, Stanton's hitting another grand slam.
Yeah. Well, I was watching that game too, because I also have your old friend Clay Holmes in one of my important leagues. And unfortunately, he's looking like the Pittsburgh version of Clay Holmes.
Yeah, he has. He has gone there, hasn't he?
Yeah, unfortunately. And so now they're in a committee. He's not the full-time closer. He might not close at all anymore. I'm scraping for every save I can get. I went MacGyver on my closers this year and tried to, get by with duct tape and, some chewing gum there to get by. And it's worked to a certain extent, but now I'm just thirsty for saves. So I'm hoping to get squeeze two or three more out of the end of that toothpaste tube there.
I wanted to, so I knew you were coming on today, so I made sure I had this up and ready to go since we're talking about the Yankees and Judge and Stanton. So Stanton, it's a grand slam to end the game against the Pirates on Monday night. Then on Wednesday night, they start the game with a grand slam. I don't know how many times that's happened. Bottom of the ninth to top of the first the next day, but Oswaldo Cabrera hit one. So that means, Jeff, in four games against the Pirates, the Yankees have four grand slams in one season against an opposition. The last team to do that to Pirates pitching, four grand slams in one season, were your Cincinnati Reds.
Eric Davis?
No, not that far. Back in 2002, great Reds names of days gone by here. Jason LaRue, Todd Walker, Kelly Stinnett, and Jose Guillen, all in one year against the Pirates.
Oh, Jose Guillen revenge game. I love it.
I just figured I'd take you in the time machine back there for, good Reds memories, if you will, back to 2002. I really enjoyed watching the Yankees and the atmosphere and the whole Judge thing. The chase is eye-catching to me. And what was the phrase that was going around Twitter the other day? The Duke Tuple crown or Doc Tuple crown? What was it? Because he's going to get all 10 categories. He's going to win them all in the American League?
Yeah, maybe something like that. That would be amazing. That would be simply incredible. The thing that's interesting to me, too, is from a fantasy standpoint, he's running this year. He never used to run this much. He has 16 stolen bases. That's one of the ones I'm super impressed with.
All right, Jeff, what can people find at RotoWire this week?
Well, I've got my updated value meter. I'm doing the updated ranks today. They'll be up in a couple hours, but answer all your stardom sit-em questions there. We got free agent articles for football, injury articles, DFS angle, betting angle, you name it. And we're still covering baseball all the way in. I did a baseball podcast with my good friend Joe Sheehan early this morning. So if you want to, we're all on about the baseball still too. So check it all out. RotoWire.com/free. Get you that free trial. No credit cards required.
Anything up for hockey yet with the preseason starting?
Oh yeah. Our draft kit's live on the site right now. And if the app isn't out yet, it will be out very soon. We got projections, ranking, strategy articles, team previews, you name it.
Excellent, Jeff. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.